Odd Numbers by J.J. Marsh. Read by Jess Nesling and Paul Panting for Saga Egmont. Prologue. Gale. Now. 20 years. In the beginning, grief is a crushing weight you're convinced you cannot bear. After 2 decades, you can bear it, but the effort changes you. The others have altered too. An extra line on the brow, a slight stoop, a shadow behind the eyes, although no one liked to talk about it. Over the years, our gatherings have become less of a memorial to death and more a celebration of life. Our lives go on. That's the strange thing about this biennial tradition. The more comfort and reassurance it brings, the worse that silent sense of guilt. 5 university friends, now spread across the globe, return every 24 months for New Year's Eve. We celebrate, but it's also a punishment for the horrible events of 1999. Sometimes I question why we do it to ourselves. Grief and guilt have combined into an alloy, a chain which, over the years, stretched a little longer. Sometimes I forgot it was there. But then, just as a walk breaks into a run, the chain pulls tight, tying me like a yard dog to what happened on the 31st of December 20 years ago. Maybe it's the same for the others. I couldn't say. 20 years. Finally, it was my turn to organise one of our reunions. It wasn't deliberate that I always ended up at the back of the queue. Every time it was Gail's year, circumstances changed. Someone had a better idea, or an insider tip, or an offer we couldn't refuse. But in 2019, the responsibility for the New Year's Eve party was all mine. My chalet suggestion was an immediate winner. Of course, I'd given them other options, though none as attractive as a Swiss chalet in the Alps. It had everything. A big kitchen, enough space for each of us to have privacy, a fireplace and that cosy feeling of being protected from the winter. Just perfect for the 20th anniversary of our friendship. It should have been our best New Year's Eve ever. As it turned out, it was our last. I sometimes wonder if we would have stayed friends without the shared trauma of loss. If Dan was still with us, would we have enough reason to meet every 2 years? In my memory, we were the closest gang of mates, completely inseparable, and would have stayed that way forever. But how much of that closeness was created in retrospect? Perhaps the 5 of us cleaved to each other to close the gap. That gap where number 6 should be. Danesh. I pictured his face, black eyes flashing with animation, eyebrows as mobile as bats and white teeth inviting me to join in his amusement. His voice with its South London vowels and how he used to ham up an Indian accent for laughs. I closed my eyes with an audible sigh. 20 years on and I still missed him. My mind slipped its leash and wandered back to that night 20 years ago. I tried to drag myself back to the present or the future, but the path to the past was well worn and familiar. You can't spend 20 years thinking about the same event and just suddenly stop. The mind doesn't work that way. At least, this mind won't. Chapter 1. Gale, 1999. The country retreat was Dan's idea. Somewhere out in the back of beyond, away from all the hype and expectation, shitty fireworks and crappy parties. Just us and the natural world as we watched the passing of a millennium. It surprised me to see Mr. Life and Soul eschew the celebrations of a lifetime, but he insisted the night should be meaningful. He hit every syllable of that word. We agreed. Of course we did. Where else would we go and who with? The 6 of us spent every significant moment together. More importantly, we shared the insignificant ones too. We were best friends, a cozy clique, and when I look back at those times now, I would describe us as an unhealthy codependency. 20 years ago, I didn't know that expression existed. When Mika offered his place near Prague and told us about the lake, that was totally unexpected. Simone caused a fuss because that is what Simone does. Jumping into a frozen lake, was he crazy? The lake might be dirty.